Iran's message through these rallies was loud and clear to condemn Israel for the occupation of Palestine and hold the regime responsible for its crimes in the occupied territories.
Flags of the resistance front waving proudly in unison. On this occasion, in the heart of the Iranian central city of Isfahan, people from all walks of life are present. Young and old alike filled the iconic Imam Khomeini Square, passionately reiterating their solidarity and unwavering support for the Palestinian people on International Quds Day.
We view it as our religious duty to participate in this march. Our participation is inspired by our leader, and we want to convey to the Palestinian people that we will always stand by them. They will never be left alone, and we will never stop supporting their cause.
I am a tourist in Isfahan, and since I participate in this march every year, I joined again this year to show support for the people of Gaza and the Palestinian children. Each time I witness their suffering and loss, I am moved to tears. Even now, as I am speaking to you, I am tearing up, and my heart is heavy with emotion.
Our leader has called upon us to participate in the march this day to defend the oppressed people of Palestine.
This unwavering support and solidarity serve as a powerful source of inspiration for younger generations. It fosters a deep sense of commitment and unity, encouraging them to stand up for justice and advocate for the rights of those who are oppressed.
When we witness the tragic loss of thousands of children in one part of the world, we cannot remain indifferent. It is crucial for us to discern between truth and falsehood, and I recognize that my presence here symbolizes a commitment to fight against falsehood while standing firmly in support of the truth. From the depths of my heart, I truly wish I could be in Palestine, actively contributing to the cause. I urge people around the world to take to the streets and openly declare their support for those who are suffering.
The voices rise in unison, echoing a message of hope and resilience for those facing oppression. As the day unfolds, the spirit of unity and determination shines brightly, symbolizing the enduring fight for justice.
As chants echo and flags wave on International Quds Day, the message remains clear. This annual event stands as a powerful symbol of resistance, one that will endure and continue through time. Farzan Ashuryun, Isfahan.
Earlier, Hamas representative in Iran, Khaled Qaddoumi, joined us for an exclusive interview to discuss the significance of International Quds Day amid Israel's renewed genocide war against Palestinians.
International Quds Day is witnessing the solidarity and the unity of the universe against the Israeli atrocities, against the oppression, against the hegemonic access of America and Israel today on the oppressed people of in our region, not in Gaza only, and everywhere. In this year especially, and in the last year after the Tufan al-Aqsa on the 7th of October, Al-Quds Day has its own remarkable impact on the narratives of the masses. When we all gathered in one day, in one moment, irrespective of our own school of thoughts, race, or nationality, under one topic, that we want to stop oppression, we want to stop genocide, and we want the only occupation which has remained after the Second World War, that is Israel, to finish. Legally, we are living under occupation. It's our right to defend ourselves against the Israeli genocide, against the Israeli occupation, with all means. That is a right which has been granted by the international law to the Palestinian and to every nation who is living under the occupation. No one dare to speak to them. But on the other hand, America is there to dare to sponsor and extend all means of bloodshedding of the Palestinian to the Israeli army and to the Israeli government, and nobody is questioning them.
Iran's Parliament Speaker Mohammad Baqir Ghalibaf addressed a large crowd at Tehran's International Quds Day rally. He says the Al-Aqsa flood operation marked a pivotal moment and a legitimate response to the crimes of the Israeli regime.
The storm of Aqsa, that was a turning point, without a doubt. The storm of Aqsa operation over the past 18 months was a lawful and legitimate action against the crimes and the murderous acts of that took over 77 years by the oppressive regime of the Zionist regime and the U.S. and the U.K.
Aliyev strongly condemned Israel's war crimes, including its genocidal campaign and deliberate targeting of civilians, particularly women and children. He called out Western nations for their blatant hypocrisy in supporting Tel Aviv while claiming to champion human rights. Aliyev also praised the resilience of the Palestinian resistance and reaffirmed Iran's steadfast commitment to their cause. Emphasizing the resistance's enduring strength, he noted that even after the ceasefire, it remains fully capable of taking decisive actions. Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, joined the international Quds Day rallies held in Tehran to show his support for the Palestinian people. He highlighted the significance of this day and hailed the Iranian nation's commitment to the Palestinian cause. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Today is an important landmark day, a glorious day considering the intensity of the people's presence in rallies. I think we have a very understanding people and wise people. They do recognize the situation. It's clear that it's much more more crowded and serious things have happened in the region since last Quds Day. It's expected that given the threats and pressure exerted on the Islamic Republic, people have begun to feel that their presence is important in such a round. The biggest power of the Islamic Republic is its power. We are moving ahead with reliance on our people, and this is the manifestation of people's presence in the arena, besides the support for the Quds and the Arab people of Palestine and supporting the Palestinian cause. They have also manifested their presence, their powerful support, and this gives us compassionate and for us to move ahead in international arenas.
Hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestine protesters have rallied across the world on the occasion of International Quds Day. Yemeni protesters slammed Israel for continued genocide and its continued aggressions in the West Asia region. Demonstrations were held in major Yemeni cities, including the capital, Sana'a. Similar protests were held in Amman in solidarity with Gaza, as Israel has intensified military operations since it broke the ceasefire agreement with Hamas on March 18th after 2 months of relative calm. Protesters waving Jordanian and Palestinian flags called for urgent international intervention to end the violence. Also in Iraq, thousands rallied against the Israeli genocide. Protesters in Baghdad carried banners in support of the resistance groups in the region. The U.S.-Israeli genocide, a war on Gaza, claims the lives of more Palestinians as the regime warplanes continue with the deadly strikes across the besieged territory. The latest attack took place in Gaza City. At least 14 people, mostly women and children, were killed in the strike that targeted a residential building in Al Zaytun neighborhood. Another air raid on a civilian neighborhood in the city of Rafah left 2 people dead. Israeli jets have also targeted the city of Khan Yunis. The attacks come as the death toll from Israel's renewed aggression has reached 855. The overall death toll from the genocide in Gaza has surpassed 50,250, with more than 114,000 others wounded. Israeli attacks on Gaza continue, targeting medical personnel, medical facilities, and humanitarian relief workers. Earlier this week, the regime's military shelled a Red Cross building in Rafah, south of the Gaza Strip. Now, a spokesperson for the agency has condemned the strike, stressing that the ongoing insecurity has severely hindered their ability to carry out the much-needed humanitarian work in the besieged territory.
We are extremely shocked and we extremely decry the attack against our premises in Rafah, a location that we have been existing there since October 23. providing urgently needed assistance for the impacted civilians by this conflict. And these this premises, as the same as all the ICRC premises in Gaza Strip, is notified, well known for all parties, and there's an ICRC flag on the rooftop of our building, reminding everyone about their obligations toward the international humanitarian law that guarantees the safety and security and protection for civilians, for the medical staff and missions, structures, as well as for the humanitarian personnel who are endangering their lives and trying to reach those in need.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called for urgent international action to halt the barbaric crimes of the Israeli occupation forces in the Gaza Strip. Hamas said in a statement that the fascist Israeli regime has imposed a comprehensive siege on the Gaza Strip for nearly a month, worsening an already dire humanitarian crisis. The movement noted that the regime's savage crimes, coupled with the use of hunger and thirst as weapons of war, amount to genocide under international law. Hamas urged the Arab and Islamic nations to take immediate actions to pressure Israel to end the siege and aggression that affects over 2 million people. The movement also demanded accountability for Israeli crimes in international courts, urging global mobilization to support the steadfast people of Gaza. In Gaza, despite the ongoing devastation, the people's support for the resistance remains unwavering. Palestinians continue to stand firm against Israeli aggression and push back against attempts to divide and weaken their resolve. Qada Ibrahim reports on that.
Amid the devastation and despair, the people of Gaza have faced relentless bombardment, starvation, and displacement. Yet through this enduring crisis, one thing has remained unshaken in their collective spirit, their unwavering commitment to their lawful right of resistance.
After nearly 18 months of genocide, the people of Gaza have taken to the streets in an uprising against occupation, mass killings, and starvation, especially in Beit Lahia. The Israeli regime attempts to manipulate and sow division against the resistance is doomed to fail. Our resistance is inseparable from our existence, an undeniable right we will never relinquish.
Despite its advanced weaponry and relentless attempts to crush Gaza's spirit, the Israeli occupation has failed to break the will of the Palestinian people. Its brutal campaigns targeting civilian areas have only laid bare the true barbarity of the regime. While Israel's genocide continues, a more subtle and insidious attempt is being made, exploiting people's marches against the genocide in Beit Lahia, who erupted calling for the end of the Israeli war.
As the Israeli brutality intensifies, it is clear that the Gaza Strip will continue to be the battleground, not only for physical survival, but for the ideological and cultural soul of the Palestinian people. Ad Ibrahim, Gaza City.
The Israeli regime has launched new airstrikes on Lebanon in violation of a ceasefire with the Arab country. The latest attacks targeted the Hadath neighborhood in Beirut's southern suburbs. Regime's artillery shelling also hit several towns and villages in southern Lebanon. At least 3 people have been killed and 18 others, including 6 children, injured. The International Quds Day ceremonies, which were scheduled to be held on Friday, have been canceled due to the heavy attacks. While Israel has regularly struck targets in southern Lebanon in recent weeks, this is the first such strikes on Beirut since the ceasefire agreement that halted the war in November. The attacks come after the regime claimed that rocket launches targeted northern occupied territories. Hezbollah resistance movement has denied any involvement, saying that it remains committed to the November 27th ceasefire agreement. Mariam Saleh joined us earlier from Beirut to give an update on the reactions to the recent Israeli strikes on Lebanon.
And although we still do have plumes of smoke rising from that area of the strike, we have also the firefighter teams and the ambulances making sure there aren't any injuries in the surrounding. You still have many people coming, also going back to their houses, although most of this area was evacuated. A lot of the shops were closed. When it comes to the reactions, we know that President Joseph Hon is currently meeting with the French president in France, and they have a virtual meeting with other presidents. And he, in the meeting, President Joseph Hon has clearly denounced this Israeli strike, and he said very clearly that these strikes, not only on the southern suburbs of Beirut, but also in South Lebanon and in the Bekaa, are unjustifiable. President Josephon made it clear to the French president and even to the committee members that are overlooking the mechanism of the implementation of 1701. He clearly said that the Israelis need to stop their violations and they need to withdraw from the five peaks that they continue to occupy, and they also need to release all the Lebanese prisoners in Israeli jails that were taken during the Israeli war and right after the Al-Aqsa flood operation. And if that doesn't happen, Lebanon cannot go through the so-called negotiations that the U.S. is calling for on certain issues and disputed areas in whether in the sea or even on the land.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents The Month of Allah. Let's be with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Allah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Welcome to the program Month of Allah. During the month of Ramadan, we have been enjoying worshiping God Almighty. And besides worshiping Him, there are other duties that we have. That is duties to the creation of God. And of those duties to the creation of God is the duties that we have to our brothers. When we think about one of the reasons why our 12th Imam doesn't reappear, Imam Zaman, one of the factors that we can maybe say is that the community, the nation, the Ummah is not ready for him. Therefore, we have to make ourselves prepared and ready. Therefore, bringing back Imam Zaman, bringing back the 12th Imam is not only limited to an individual effort. It should be a collective effort. It is an effort that we as a community, as brothers, that we grow spiritually, that we are very careful of each other's rights, that we will take care of their financial needs if they need money. If they are a true brother, we will help them. If they need our time, we will help them. Therefore, Islam is not a religion that only limits us to our worship between us and God. That we understand that connecting to God, especially in the month of Ramadan, also is tied with the way we treat people. One of the traditions that we have from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and it is a question that many people have when they read history, is that how come the Imams didn't uprise against the corrupt governments of their times? In one of these traditions, it answers this question. They come to Imam Baqir alayhi salam. As you know, Imam Baqir, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, they were a little bit more free than the rest of the Imams in Medina. So they asked him, they asked Imam Baqir alayhi salam, how come you don't uprise? They tell him, in Kufa, there's a large group, and if you command them, we will obey you and we'll follow you. We have a large army is waiting for you. A large amount of people are waiting for you. And the Imam answers to them. He says, in this tradition from Al-Ikhtisas, ask them, do all of them come to their brothers' wallets and take whatever they have and need? Are they so close that they can take somebody's money? They can come to their wallet or where they stash their money or where they hold their money. And can they take whatever they need? Are they that close to each other? Do they basically take care of the financial situation of their own brothers? And then they say, فَقَالَ لَا. They said, no, they don't. Then the Imam says something very interesting. And from this, we understand that what is our duty. It says, فَقَالَ فَهُمْ بِدَمَائِهِمْ أَبْخَلْ. That they are more stingy when it comes to their blood. You're saying they're willing to sacrifice for me, they're willing to uprise against, say, a strong government. They're not willing to even spend their money for Islam, let alone giving their blood for Islam, for example. Therefore, we understand that the duties that we have, that Imam Baqir alayhi salam in this tradition is saying that mu'mins should be so close, brothers should be so close that they can even go to each other's wallet and the person is satisfied. I took, say, $5, $10, $20, you know, however much I needed, I took from your wallet. This is how close the brothers should be. And this is how we should prepare ourselves for the coming back of our Imam. That we need to have a tight community. We need to be friendly with everybody. We need to take care of whatever needs they have. When someone comes into our mosque or to our centers, we need to approach them, talk to them. And we need to even sacrifice our time, sacrifice our money for them. This is what the Imam wants. And this is what makes God happy. And this is what makes makes the Prophet happy and the Ahlul Bayt happy. When we look at another tradition, a man was a farmer and he was taxed heavily. And Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam wanted to help him. So he wrote a letter to a person that had a position in the government and said to him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wrote to him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surra akhaka sarraka Allah. Make your brother happy. Make your brother pleased, and you will have made Allah pleased. So this person takes this letter, takes it to the person that was in charge, had a governmental position, and says to him, basically, you know, I need help. I have this much money I owe in taxes. So this person that loved Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, because of the connection between Imam As-Sadiq and his followers, he gives the utmost respect to this person. He takes that letter and puts it on his eyes and takes from his own money and repays the taxes that that person owed. And says, the next year you owe taxes too, he pays that next year too. And then he says, well, this is the rug that the letter of Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq has reached me. These are your rugs. Do you need an animal for you to ride, say a horse or any animal for you to ride? He gives them an animal to ride. Then the person becomes very happy and comes back to Imam As-Sadiq. And Imam As-Sadiq tells him this. He sees that he is very happy. So Imam As-Sadiq says, Wallah laqad sarra Allah wa rasulah. I swear by God, this person, he has made you happy, he has made Allah happy, and he has made his messenger happy. So brothers and sisters, when we are helping each other, helping the needy, helping those that need, say, a skill that we have, time that we have, when we are helping them, we are helping Allah. We are making Allah help. We are making Allah happy. We are making the messenger of Allah happy. And this is how we solidify our community and we become stronger. And this is how we become a strong nation, and that one day, inshallah, we can help and make our 12th Imam reappear by doing collective work, that by making each other, inshallah, grow spiritually and grow in tighter bonds with each other in this month of Ramadan.
قال الإمام علي عليه السلام أحب الأعمال إلى الله عز وجل في الأرض الدعاء
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "The most beloved action on this earth with Allah, mighty and exalted, is supplication."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We waited for this holy month to come, and when it came, it just passed so fast. Today we are already observing Jumatul Wida, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our amal and rituals of this blessed month and give us the tawfiq to maintain the spirit and the lessons that we have learned from this process of fasting during this month. And we pray to him for the relief of the suffering people around the world, especially for the children, women, and men of the Gaza Strip. Today is also known as the day where we dedicate that for the people of the Palestine. Israel is not respecting its obligation under the law of war as far as respecting the civilian lives or allow aid in a famine situation which has been created by its actions. Among the European countries, especially the European Union, it's only Spain and Ireland who have been sharpest critics of Israel. And this is where we see that, you know, these bodies around the Western world, they have their own standards, but it only applies for them, not for others. And we have people like, you know, Spain and Ireland, which comes up very openly on this issue. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give more power and courage to such politicians who still have a living conscience and stand up for justice. One point comes out loud and clear again and again and again for the last 50 years. The lives of Palestinians are not valued the same as the lives of Western aid workers. This is not the first tragedy happening. You know, and this is where we saw right in the beginning, in October, the Israeli defense minister at that time, the words he used, he said, "We are fighting human animals and we are acting accordingly." When you look at other people in that way, you can talk about international law, humanitarian law, you know, human rights, democracy, and this and that. But if you have double standard in implementing it, this is where we see the hypocrisy. And there can be no peace in any part of the world when human rights and international law are used only for one group and ignored in case of others, especially when it comes to Muslims and Arabs. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. In the epistle that he wrote to Malik Ashtar, as somebody who would be controlling the administration of Egypt. Unfortunately, he didn't even reach there because Muawiyah and his people basically assassinated him along the way. And in that document, which alhamdulillah survived, and it is actually a blueprint for anyone who wants to get into politics or understanding the role of the governments towards their people. And there is a statement where Ali alayhi salam says, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ في غير موطن. He says that I have heard the messenger of Allah saying in more than one cases or one places. Means he repeated this statement in different places. He says, لن تقدس أمة لا يوخذ الضعيف فيها حقه من القوي غير متتعتع. He says, I heard the messenger of Allah saying in more than one occasion that no community can ever gain sanctity in which the weak does not get his right without fear of speaking. That is the standard of humanity when you talk about it. This is, of course, humanity based on the guidance of the divine teachings. And when you look at that, you know, the world has utterly failed on that. It's only the people who are in who have power, affluence, and if they belong to certain, you know, races power in the world, they have their way. Others don't really count at all. And this is where the Prophet uses the word lan taqaddas. There will be no sanctity for a community where the weak does not get his right without fear of speaking. And so in this context, you know, and I purposely do this, I use the words from themselves. You know, I would like to repeat the words of the U.S. President Obama in his visit as a president, official visit to Israel, where he uttered those words, and I don't know what was the reaction at that time of the audience. Probably I should go and look at the video. You know, because the words are very, very, you know, powerful in the way where he says to the Israelis, put yourself in their shoes. Look at the world through their eyes. It is not fair that a Palestinian child cannot grow up in a state of their own, living their entire lives with the presence of a foreign army that controls the movement, not just of those young people, but their parents, their grandparents, every single day. It is not just when settler violence against Palestinians goes unpunished. It is not right to prevent Palestinians from farming their lands or restricting a student's ability to move around the West Bank or displace Palestinian families from their homes. Neither occupation nor expulsion is the answer. Palestinians have a right to be a free people in their own land. And this is what the people on the street in the East and the West are demanding. It is the powers who have their own agenda, their own policies. And so, you know, there are many, many countries around the world where they will have the rally today, the Quds rally for support of the Palestinian. You go there, but also remember that there is something else also you can do. And this is what I'm emphasizing. It's not only the rally. You know, see other things that you can do, whether it's on a humanitarian level. But to do that, they need your financial support. And this is where, you know, it's the month of Ramadan. These are the last days. This would be a worthwhile cause, you know, to support them. And this is where, you know, let us end with a passage that we recite from Dua Iftitah every night these days in the month of Ramadan, where we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا وغيبة إمامنا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا والتظاهر الزمان علينا. والله we complain to you to have missed the presence of our prophet and the absence of our imam and the multitude of our enemies and of the severity of test and the joining of the people of the time against us. We ask you, Allah, فَصَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعِنَّا لَذَلِكَ بِفَتْحٍ تُعَجِّلُهُ وَبِضُرٍ تَكْشِفُ وَنَصْرٍ تُعِزُّ وَسُلْطَانَ حَقٍ تُظْهِرُ وَرَحْمَةٍ مِنْكَ تُجَلِّلُنَاهَا وَعَافِيَةٍ مِنْكَ تُلْبِسُنَاهَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. وَاللَّهُ shower your blessings on Muhammad's family. Support us by a victory that will be sooner and by relieving us of harm and by a help that will strengthen us and by a true leader whom you will manifest and by your mercy that you will extend upon us and by your safety that you will cover upon us by your mercy, O Arham al-Rahimeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the appearance of the Imam so that we can have global peace, inshallah.
I saw those rockets and bombs shining in the sky, like drops of rain in the sun's light, taking away everyone dear to my heart, destroying my dreams in a blink of an eye. What happened to our human rights? What happened to the sanctity of life? Still alive. Oh, yeah. I will caress with my bare hands every precious grain of sand, every stone, and every tree.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
In the limelight.
President Trump has signed a sweeping executive action to overhaul U.S. elections that would require documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote in federal elections. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Associated Press has covered the story and tells us more. President Donald Trump on Tuesday, 25th of March, signed a sweeping executive action to overhaul elections in the United States, including requiring documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote in federal elections and demanding that all ballots be received by Election Day. The order says the United States has failed to enforce basic and necessary election protections, and calls on states to work with federal agencies to share voter lists and prosecute election crimes. It threatens to pull federal funding from states where election officials don't comply. The move, which is likely to face swift challenges because states have broad authority to set their own election rules, is consistent with Donald Trump's long history of railing against election processes. He often claims elections are being rigged even before the results are known, and has waged battles against certain voting methods since he lost the 2020 election to Democrat Joe Biden and falsely blamed it on widespread election fraud. Donald Trump has focused particularly on mail voting, arguing without evidence that it's insecure, and invites fraud even as he has shifted his position on the issue given its popularity with voters, including Republicans. While fraud occurs, it's rare, limited in scope, and gets prosecuted. The executive order's documentary proof of citizenship requirement signals that the president is not waiting for congressional Republicans to pass their long-anticipated Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, or SAVE Act, which has aimed to do the same thing. Republicans have defended that measure as necessary to restore public confidence in elections. Voting in federal elections by non-citizens is already illegal and can result in felony charges and deportation. Voting rights groups have expressed concerns that the requirement could disenfranchise the American voters. An estimated 9% of U.S. citizens of voting age, or 21.3 million Americans, do not have proof of citizenship readily available, according to a 2023 report by the Brennan Center for Justice and various other groups. There are also concerns that married women who have changed their names and encounter trouble when trying to register because their birth certificates list their maiden names. Such hiccups happened in recent town elections in New Hampshire, which has a new state law requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. Donald Trump's order directs federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, the Social Security Administration, and the State Department, to share with election officials federal data that could help them identify non-citizens under voting rolls. It also says the Attorney General should prioritize enforcement of federal election integrity laws in states that don't share information about suspected election crimes with the federal government. The order aims to require votes to be cast and received by Election Day, and says federal funding should be conditional on state compliance. Currently, 18 states and Puerto Rico accept mail ballots received after Election Day as long as they're postmarked on or before that date, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. Continue with the Associated Press's coverage of this story. Donald Trump's order is likely to face legal challenges given that the Constitution gives authority over elections to the states. While Congress has the power to regulate voting and has done so to pass such laws as the Voting Rights Act, the Constitution makes clear that states have primary authority to set the times, places, and manner of elections. Colorado's Democratic Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, called the order an unlawful weaponization of the federal government and said Donald Trump is trying to make it harder for voters to fight back at the ballot box. Democratic Representative Joe Morrell of New York, the ranking member of the House committee that oversees elections, said the executive order is not just misguided, it is immoral and illegal. At least one Democratic attorney on Tuesday, 25th of March, threatened legal action. Mark Elias, who has been the subject of Donald Trump's ire, said in a social media post, "This will not stand. We will sue." The executive branch does have some authority over elections, according to Justin Levitt, a constitutional law expert and former White House senior policy advisor during the Biden administration. Justin Levitt said some federal agencies provide election support, including the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, which distributes federal grant money to states and runs a voluntary certification program for voting systems. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency helps election officials protect their systems. Former President Joe Biden issued an executive order in 2021 directing federal agencies to take steps to boost voter registration, which drew complaints from Republicans who called it federal overreach. Donald Trump has now rescinded that order. Trump's order calls on Election Assistance Commission to amend voting system guidelines to protect election integrity, including guidance that voting systems should not use a ballot that uses a barcode or QR code in the vote counting process. It said the commission should condition the funding it distributes to states on those new guidelines. Virtually all in-person voters in Georgia, as well as voters in several other states, use voting machines with a large touchscreen to record their votes. The machines then print a paper ballot with a human-readable summary of the voter selections and a QR code, a type of barcode that is read by a scanner to count the votes. It is not entirely clear how the executive order would affect Georgia and the other jurisdictions that use these machines. Representatives for Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger did not immediately respond to messages seeking comment. Raffensperger issued a statement thanking Donald Trump for the executive order, calling it a great first step for election integrity reform nationwide. Representative Brian Steil of Wisconsin, the chairman of the House committee that oversees elections, said the order is a welcome action to secure our elections and prevent foreign influence. The national broadcaster CBS News has also covered the same story. President Trump on Tuesday, 25th of March, signed a sweeping executive action to overhaul U.S. elections that would require documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote in federal elections and mandate that all ballots be received by Election Day across the country. The order claims the United States has not adequately enforced federal election requirements that, for example, prohibit states from counting ballots received after Election Day, or prohibit non-citizens from registering to vote. The order says the United States has failed to enforce basic and necessary election protections and calls on states to work with federal agencies to share voter lists and prosecute election crimes. The president also threatened to pull federal funding from states where election officials don't comply. David Becker, the chief executive officer of the Center for Election Innovation and Research, characterized the executive order as a federal takeover of the constitutional authority of local and state governments to run elections. David Becker said, "It seeks to seize authority over election technology and processes at the state and local level, all while bypassing congressional approval. If implemented, it could cost state taxpayers tens of billions of dollars," he predicted. Though Becker, who is a CBS News election law contributor, also expects that the executive order will face a difficult road in the courts of law. President Trump has long claimed elections were being rigged in the United States even before the results were known. He's battled certain voting methods since he lost the 2020 election to former President Joe Biden, falsely blaming widespread election fraud for his loss. Donald Trump has already promised that more election actions would be taken in the coming weeks. have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The Supreme Leader's view of Quds Day. The necessity of holding Quds Day rallies. The International Quds Day reminds the brave Muslims living across the world of their duty to persistently support the defenseless Palestinian nation. By suggesting Quds Day, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh, awakened the conscience of humanity to the issue of Palestine and made people protest against the Zionist regime. Each year, we are witness to the vast participation of Muslims in the rallies. Those who are resisting and suffering innocently in the occupied Palestinian lands are the only ones offering hope about the freedom of Palestine and the annihilation of the usurping Zionist regime. These people should feel and know that Muslim nations across the world of Islam remember and support them. We have to hold such rallies across the Muslim world if we are to create such a feeling in the hearts of those oppressed combatants who are fighting defenselessly in their occupied homeland. The announcement of International Quds Day by our magnanimous Imam Rahmatullahi Alayh was due to this reason. Otherwise, it is clear that a group of demonstrators on the streets of Tehran cannot fight against Israel from here.
Subhanallah.
The world of Islam should commemorate the International Quds Day. Muslims should not let vassal states destroy Palestine and make the world forget the issue of Palestine by creating an atmosphere of artificial silence about the issue. The treachery of the governments that colluded with the usurping regime at the expense of the Palestinian people's lives must not sink into oblivion. That treachery was not something insignificant. You must commemorate Quds Day and consider it a great occasion. Of course, global media may not reflect it. Those who are imprisoned in Palestine have told us that our slogans, prisons, and clenched fists, which are indicative of your sincere intentions and determination, give them the feeling that they have the power to resist. In order to continue resisting, those who have been imprisoned in Palestine should not feel that they are alone. In order to resist, the men and women who are being attacked by the Zionist bullies on the streets of Jerusalem, Gaza Strip, and other Palestinian cities should feel that you support them. Of course, Muslim governments have their own responsibilities in this regard.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all. From the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise.